baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Well, if this isn't the biggest day for baseball fans in this country, I don't know what it's going to take to get you riled up. Welcome to the walk-off, everybody. I'm Scott Belford, joined by Adam Mack and Buddy. It is here. Trade deadline day.
Yeah, I felt like it yesterday with all those moves that we'll get into in a little bit here.
Absolutely, and the Toronto Blue Jays are going to be playing tonight in, get this, Toronto. What?
What is right?
Yeah, oh, cool. My goodness, man. First time that this team is going to be back at the Rogers Center since 2019. We're going to see guys like Hyunjin Ryu in Rogers Center for the first time. Robbie Ray, Marcus Semien, George Springer. Buddy, watching them walk in, I know that they were kind of showing clips of them coming into the Rogers Center. This team is excited to be back, man. They are beaming. And, you know, they were showing clips of them getting the field ready for tonight. And it just reminded me of Moneyball when Brad Pitt's just like, how can you not be romantic about baseball? Right? Old Billy Bean. And you're just like, yeah, this is beautiful. The roof is open on the Rogers Center. The field is being groomed. Man, I'm so excited for tonight. So let's get into it here. Lots to talk about. Obviously, we will go over the trades that happened yesterday. The Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox all bolstering their lineup. The Jays made a trade. We'll get into Hyunjin Ryu and his numbers recently. We'll talk Joey Votto, all of that on the way. Okay, so our guest for this afternoon, or for this evening, or whenever you're listening to this, I guess, is going to be Joel LaFlamme, who is Hey Commie on TikTok. He's got almost 100,000 followers and one of the accounts that really pushed and focused on the sticky stuff. So we get into that with him, the sticky stuff, and kind of where his direction is going from here. He had all sorts of really fun and cool things to say about the game in general. So you can either, if you're listening audio-wise, that's going to play right after this in about 30 to 40 minutes. And if you're on YouTube, then you can just go to our full conversations and you'll see Joel there. Of course, all of our guests are brought to you by yourrate.ca. Darren Brown, the mortgage broker, sure to help you get into that mortgage you're after, whether you're looking to renew your current mortgage or get into a new one. You can do that online, paperless, COVID-friendly at yourrate.ca. At Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, the Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. All right, my friend. What a game yesterday to bring this team home. A 13-1 shellacking. Love that word. Love just saying it.
Shellacking is a great one. I was going to go with walloping, but walloping is good.
That's equivalent. That's a good equivalent word. Yes. 13-1 yesterday. The Blue Jays absolutely destroyed Boston. It's funny how this team either loses by a run or two or just wins by eight.
Yeah, well, I think our run differential against the Red Sox this year is we are plus 19 on the season.
And 6-10, right? And
6-10 is our record, so, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, part of that problem is the bullpen, which they addressed yesterday, bringing in Brad Hand for Riley Adams. Riley Adams, of course.
Our catcher, the odd man out.
He is the odd man out on the catching totem pole here in Toronto. So he is going to go to the Washington Nationals. Maybe he'll get some playing time there. Brad Hand, lefty, tons of experience. This is a guy who closed out games for the Nationals as a World Series champion.
And it's about time we got a lefty arm in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Or,
I mean,
are you picking up that sarcasm, Scott?
I get up. I'm picking it up. All right. Yeah, I get it. Sacedo, Meza, Snead, right?
Yeah.
But I really like this move for a few reasons. I don't know how you feel about it, but I quite like his acumen. right? That he's done that, been there.
Yep.
He's been with a winner, seasoned veteran. And if you just take away, yes, he's had a rough month of July. I know his ERA in July is close to 7. However, if you remove that month, he's career average numbers for this year, and it has looked pretty good. Even with those numbers included, even his July numbers included, he's still at about a 3.5 ERA, and this team needed somebody who could go into that back end of the bullpen and perform. So we'll see how it works out. But
do you think we still make another bullpen addition, or is that it? Is that our closer now?
I'd still like Craig Kimbrell, personally. I'm like, yes, absolutely. By 4 Eastern time today, I would like to see Craig Kimbrell in a Jays jersey. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, and we will delve into, you know, the Berrios talks and them going and trying to, I know Yan Gomes, catcher for the Washington Nationals, name has been tossed around a little bit with the Jays, so we will get into that. But before we do that, let's talk Hyun-Jin Ryu, okay? Because he is coming back to Toronto. He's going to finally be able to pitch in front of this Rogers Center crowd. Very exciting for the South Korean contingent in Toronto, who have been waiting for this man to get there for like 2 years almost. It's wild. He was really dialed in yesterday. Like, he had a heck of a game. And I know that we talked about his struggles in June, and this was something that we mentioned several times over the last couple weeks, is that he just wasn't locating his changeup. He was struggling locating his cutter. Those problems have gone away, man. Like, in the last 4 games that he has pitched, Hyun-Jin Ryu has looked like the ace that they acquired when they went out and got him.
Yeah, no, he has. It's good to see that he's settling in again.
1.62 ERA, a 1.07 whip, 5 Ks to walk ratio, 0 home runs given up, and 4-0 in the last 4 starts.
Wow, that 5 to 1 K to walk ratio is pretty unreal.
It's pretty unreal. And I know we were even talking last week, if there's a wild card game, are we going with Robbie Ray? And we both kind of were like, yeah, maybe we do go with Robbie Ray. But I don't know. I think at this point, Ryu is proving that he is the ace of this staff once again. I'm fine with 2 aces. Let Robbie continue to kick butt, right? But
yeah, hey, Robbie, and they both Ray have. Game 2 sounds pretty good.
So Ray has a 3.04 ERA, and Ryu has a 3.29. They rank 5th and 7th in ERAs in the American League. So both look pretty darn good, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another little cool tidbit about Ryu here is yesterday his grandfather passed away. And then he went out and pitched just a beauty of a game, man. And afterwards, he even said, he was like, my grandfather really loved baseball. I was just glad that I was able to perform the way I did for his last game, that he could have seen me, hopefully. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I've never heard of a family member passing away as being described as a cool little tidbit before, but
well, yeah, okay, my apologies for the way I worded that.
That's all right, can't always be a wordsmith in every single sentence, right?
In fact, most of the time I'm not, so as long as I'm on brand here, right?
Man, Ross Stripling could take a lesson from Ryu in terms of personal life off the field. We don't have to get into the Ross Stripling stuff again. All right. Do you want to look at the lineup we had the last time the Jays were in Toronto, Scott?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so in the outfield, we had Teoscar Hernandez. We had Derek Fisher. We had Randall Grichuk. We had Anthony Alford. We had Jonathan Davis. That was our outfield. In the infield, we had Gavin Biggio. We had Smoke and McKinney at first.
Right.
We had... Who do we have at shortstop here? Urena at shortstop and Valera at third base.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so a little some upgrades there.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Last time the Jays played at Rogers Center was the end of September in 2019. And you just went over the lineup, and my goodness. Like, it is wild how much this team has changed. I actually sent it to you there. I know you haven't read it yet, but Bo Bichette did an article in the Players Tribune. And he just was pretty much gushing over the fact that this team is so excited to be back in Toronto. There's a romance to it. They're being in a big league stadium. He brought up the bat flip and what a huge moment it was, and that it was one of those moments that he watched on YouTube over and over and over again after it happened. It's just really cool to hear these young kids talk about how excited and what a magical place Toronto is to play in front of, and that they're just really excited to be able to play in front of a Toronto crowd. And man, I know there's only going to be 15,000 people there tonight, but it is going to blow the roof off of that place.
Yeah, it's going to be electric. It's going to be pretty cool.
We're going to see a standing ovation when they take the field. We're going to hear MVP chants every time Vladdy goes up to the plate. We're going to get standing ovations for Robbie Ray and George Springer and Marcus Semien. You know, like, Toronto's finally going to be able to show some love to these guys who have been out of this world for this team so far in 2021 and even 2020, you know, going back to Ryu's debut season last year where he didn't get to play in front of a home crowd. I don't know, man. I think that this is going to be a much bigger boost to this team than people are even giving it credit for. I think it's going to translate into wins.
Yeah.
I think that being in a big league park again, that they're going to be able to call home and really mean it, is going to be an intangible that we're not actually going to be able to, you know, fathom how much it's big, going to make a big difference.
Well, I hope you're right. Sure would be nice to start with a sweep of the Royals here.
It sure would. Yeah, it sure would. I did want to quickly touch on some things that happened yesterday before we get into all the rumors going around. And this is the thing, man. It's funny because we're laying this podcast down here Friday morning. By the time we release it in like 30 minutes here,
I know it's going to be out of date.
Stuff could have already come down the pike. So who knows? But we will get into some of the rumors that we've heard with the Jose Barrias, the Kent Amedas, that sort of thing here. But I did wish to touch on two friends of the show who are also best buddies and are now both playing for the Toronto Blue Jays, a couple lefties in our bullpen, Taylor Cicedo. Number one, I wish to talk about what he did yesterday. I loved it. Okay, they bring him in the seventh inning. Ryu pitches a gem. The Jays are up 13-0. And yes, Cicedo gave up a run, but he just went in there and threw strikes, right? There were no 3-0 counts. He walked nobody. He just went in there and was like, hit it. Just hit it. Like, yeah.
No, he definitely had an aggressive confidence to him. It was nice to see.
It is nice to see, because in that scenario, man, there's nothing that's more frustrating for a team than being up 13-0 and watching a guy come in from the bullpen and walk a guy or give up a home run here or, you know, this and that. So that was great to see. And then also wish to touch on Kirby Snead. He had his debut a couple days ago. First time in the major leagues, induces a ground ball double play, and then comes into the game yesterday in the bottom of the ninth.
Three strikeouts.
Yeah, very, very cool. Which, by the way, both of those interviews are up on our YouTube page right now. So if you'd like to check out Taylor Cicedo or Kirby Snead's interviews, you can do that on our YouTube page. Also, where you get the podcast, it should be up there. Both had bumps in the road throughout their pro career, and definitely cool to hear them talk about it. And the fact that they actually, I mean, Taylor Cicedo was talking about, he quit baseball during the pandemic. Like, he full out quit. Literally. He called the Jays. He called all his teammates. Like, Kirby Steen even brought that up, that he took a phone call from Taylor being like, yeah, I'm done. And then was talked out of it by an old coach. So, yeah, some great interviews there.
Ooh, I got goosebumps just thinking about that.
Right? Just cool. Wild. Okay. Before we move on to this, the trade talks here, and lots did happen yesterday, so we are going to get into it. I also wish to talk about Aroldis Martinez, who is absolutely mashing in low A Dunedin for the Blue Jays right now. His stock rises every single day. And it's funny because all the talk to start with was Gabriel Moreno. Oh, Moreno is going to be a top 10 prospect, and he's right there too. Mm-hmm. But now we're watching Martinez. Literally, I read an article on Martinez yesterday where they were like, this kid could be a top 10 prospect by the end of the season. This is a kid that wasn't in the top 100 before the start of the season, wow. And he's 19. Do you wish to go over some of his numbers, man? Because the guy is mashing.
You bet. So, again, this is a shortstop in the Jays organization, as if we didn't have enough of those.
Yeah.
So, on the season in single A, he's hitting .287 now with 19 home runs and 66 RBIs. His strikeout to walk ratio is a little less than we would like it. He's got 32 walks on 80 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. But in the month of July, get this, he's hitting .352.
Wow.
With 13 home runs and 31 RBIs.
Like, talk about finding his power stroke. 13 home runs in the month of July. Wow. 19.
Okay. 19 home runs on the season. 13 of them have come in July. So.
And the kid's not 20 yet. Yeah. I mean, it is pretty impressive what the Jays have managed to do on the international free agent market, because they keep finding kids like this. I mean, that's where they got Vladdy. The fact that this Martinez, they signed him at 17. Like, they are really managing to identify some major talent in this international market and lock them up young.
Yep.
That's how they got Lourdes. They signed Lourdes at 22. And I mean, he's still making $3 million a year, I think, for the next 2 years they've got him. So some really savvy international signings. This front office has a good track record with the draft as well. Now the question is, are they ever going to use some of these prospects to bring in major league players? And this is where we're at right now at the trade deadline. We saw Riley Adams go for Brad Hand. We kind of touched on the fact that they needed another back end of the bullpen arm, and they went out and got that.
And it's a perfect trade because Riley Adams had no spot on this team. I know he came up and played this year, but... I mean, between Jansen, McGuire, Kirk, and Gabriel Moreno, like, Riley Adams is the least sexy one there, right? And that's including Danny Jansen.
I agree. And I think that there are several moving parts going on right now. So here are some of the rumors surrounding the Toronto Blue Jays currently. And that is that they are pursuing Yan Gomes, catcher for the Washington Nationals, who are obviously in sell mode. They gave up Brad Hand, and I mean, we'll get into the Max Scherzer, Trey Turner trade shortly here, but they are in sell mode. Yan Gomes used to play for the Toronto Blue Jays. He's been a seasoned veteran. Yeah, he was a seasoned veteran catcher. He's looking decent this year, but this is one of those things where sometimes bringing in a veteran catcher is not a bad idea at all. And a lot of Blue Jays fans are like, this doesn't really make sense. Where does Yan Gomes even fit in here? Well, maybe Alejandro Kirk is being shopped right now in an attempt to bring in a guy like Jose Berrios, to bring in a guy like Kent Maeda. Now, here's the thing. Everybody in the Blue Jays fandom is all hot and bothered for Jose Berrios. And I would love to see Berrios on this team. However, I would be just fine with Kenta Maeda as well, who has been very good since coming back from injury. He has that experience again. He's got his career numbers that look good. He's a guy that I think is also under contract until 2023. So both him and Berrios have two more years of control. I think a starting pitcher is something that this team needs to do. I'd like to see another bullpen piece as well. We'll see what's going to happen. And this is the thing, is we're all in speculation mode. There's still about 6 hours before this trade deadline ends. I mean, who knows when you're listening to this, but we'll see what's happening. It's going to be interesting. I mean, to talk about Riley Adams, right? And you'd think that now maybe it's less likely another catcher gets moved, but that is their biggest strength when it comes to their minor league system. And this is, these young catchers is something that other organizations look at as having value, right? Like a guy like Kirk is something that, why wouldn't Minnesota be after him?
No, absolutely. I know we're going to touch on this later, but some big trades across the league right now. Yankees, yes. Two blockbusters.
Yeah.
Red Sox. I think they Dodgers. Pulled the trigger on Schwarber.
Schwarber, yeah.
Dodgers are, you know, back to being the meat grinder potentially that we speculated they would be at the start of the season with the Scherzer and Turner addition. Mm-hmm. Does that affect how hungry you are at this trade deadline for a big name? Like,
I mean, personally, yes. I think the Jays should go in. I'm not saying give up the farm, okay? Like, I know that the Dodgers gave up their number one and number two prospect to get Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. Do I wish to see the Jays do that for Jose Berrios? Not particularly. Do I wish to see Austin Martin and Simeon Woods Richardson go to the Twins to get Berrios? No, if that's what they need to give up, probably not. I don't think it is, though. I think that they can manage to pull this off with, let's say, a Kirk and then some prospects in that 10 to 20 range. I could be out to lunch here, but let's face it, Trey Turner, one of the best shortstops in all of baseball, with another year of control, which solves some problems for the Dodgers with Seager being a free agent next year. Max Scherzer, first ballot Hall of Famer, let's face it, yep. World Series champion, has done it all. Still one of the top pitchers in all of baseball. So yes, you need to give up some prospect capital to do that.
But do you want to do that this year, Scott, is what I'm saying. It just, because for me, it feels like our potential to win has been shrunk a little bit over the last 48 hours with the moves the other teams have made. I was kind of hoping the Jays would maybe get some of those guys. And it's just been so quiet for us right now. I feel like we've just really fallen off. Maybe it's the calm before the storm.
I would like to see the Jays do something.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the opposite boat now. I kind of just want us to ride out and
see what happens.
Yeah, if we can get Berrios, I'm cool with that, because that's a guy that'll be on the team for two more years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, a move right now that still helps us next year and the year after that, like, sure, let's do it. But I think our wild card chances are smaller than they were before.
That's fair.
The Yankees suck, but adding Joey Gallo and adding Anthony Rizzo, that's big. And I don't think they're going to be done there. I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and added a pitcher. So, I don't know. I just feel like before I was like all in on like, yeah, let's go. Not all in, but like a little more enthusiastic about the Jays being buyers, and I don't know, I'm just not excited to trade for the scraps that are out there, you know?
That's fair. I don't think that Jose Berrios is a scrap. I think
he's like the one guy, like I said, that like I'm interested in, but like if we're not gonna get like Kimbrel or I don't know. It just feels like...
Would you still like Kimbrel?
I don't know. Probably not at this point. I just think he's adding a piece to a team that we aren't and shouldn't pretend to be. I don't know. I feel like Kimbrel is... is a piece you get when you're gonna make like a serious run. And I just feel like we haven't really improved in the last 48 hours. And when everyone else around us has taken two steps forward, it's basically the same as us taking two steps backwards.
Right.
So we'd really have to go and I don't know, man. Maybe I'm going to get roasted in the comments for being kind of bummed about this. But I don't know. At this point, like, I don't want to sell Robbie Ray. I don't want to trade Simeon. That's not what I'm saying. I think, like, we should still be somewhat active and, like, obviously play to win every game. But
and that's fair. I mean, you're downtrodden kind of emotions right now makes sense with when you take a look that Anthony Rizzo and Joey Gallo were both added to this Yankees lineup, which does make them a much better team. Like, let's be serious, that is two very big bats to be adding to that AL East rivalry there. Kyle Schwarber is a pretty darn big bat to be added to that Red Sox team. Both have improved. The Rays, all the talk about the Rays. I mean, they've bolstered their lineup.
Well, they added Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
They haven't really added much else, though, have they?
No, but there's all sorts of rumors about them being in on Chris Bryant, which would be wild.
Well, they got to do something. Honestly,
it's like going it's going to be very interesting to see where all these chips land, because I think the Rays are far from finished. I personally think the Jays are far from finished. I think that we're going to see some big stuff go on. Could be completely.
Hey, man, wrong. I hope that before I can even publish this episode, we need to reshoot it because we have big announcements that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what did go on yesterday. Let's start with the biggest trade pieces on the market going to the Los Angeles Dodgers and Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. The return for that, and we kind of touched on that, was the Dodgers' first and second prospects in their system, correct?
Yeah, so catcher Keibert Ruiz.
Yeah.
Right-handed pitcher Josiah Gray. Right-handed pitcher Gerardo Cirillo, sorry if I'm saying that wrong.
And Cirillo was their 17th prospect, right?
Yeah, Cirillo is their 17th, and then Josiah Gray, number 2, and Keibert Ruiz is their number 1. So that would be like if the Jays were really in on Max Scherzer, that'd be like us getting rid of, like you said, Simeon Woods Richardson or Nate Pearson. And yeah. Austin Martin. So that's a.
So they paid. They paid big to get him.
Yeah, but
that said, I just read a really interesting little tweet there from Shai Davidi back in 2011, and he was like, "Rumor is the Jays were in on Zach Greinke, but to get them, they would have had to give up Kyle Drabek, Travis Snyder." And heck, I forget his first name now. And then that was retweeted from 2010, and the quote tweet said, "Always trade your prospects."
Okay, so the argument there is your prospects don't always work. Don't always turn out, right?
Yes.
And that's absolutely right. I mean,
you've got to give it to the Dodgers. I mean, they are going all in, as they probably should. However, that said, you know, like, they gave up their number 1 and number 2 prospect in a time in baseball when organizations don't do that. It's impressive that they move their chips in.
Yeah, but they're in striking distance, right?
Oh, they're right in the thick of it, absolutely. Like,
and this is the exciting thing about a guy like Aurelvis Martinez, is that's a guy that we can trade for Jacob DeGrom in 2 years from now, right?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to say, but, you know, give Jacob DeGrom a couple of years, and if the Mets are not contenders, and we are, and...
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a girth of shortstop prospects already. That's what we turn them into, right? We turn them into legitimate pitching staff.
Major league, postseason arms, right? Or so, wherever you need to fill holes.
But,
absolutely.
But we're too far away to have those talks right now. But anyways.
Let's go over what happened in the AL East then. Because we just mentioned that both Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo were added to this Yankees lineup. Let's talk about what the Yankees gave up.
Okay, so the Yankees gave up Ezekiel Duran, Josh Smith, Trevor Hover, and Glenn Otto. So
where were those prospects ranked?
That was the, I believe, the number two prospect for the Yankees.
Right. And the Jays were in on Gallo. The rumors are is that there was an offer on the table from the Jays as well, and they chose the Yankees. The Yankees sweetened their pot last minute.
Yeah, and it's frustrating to lose out on Gallo, but I also, maybe the prospects we would have had to give up for Gallo are prospects that we're going to use on Berrios instead.
Very true. And then finally, let's talk about Kyle Schwarber, because this was a big ad from Boston and kind of, well, I mean, it's funny because only 3 weeks ago, the Nationals were on fire and so was Kyle Schwarber. Schwarber wound up getting injured and then they went in a bit of a tailspin, and this is why they're in sell mode now, because it looked like they were possibly in buy mode when they were only about two games out of the division behind the Mets.
Well, he hit, what, 17 home runs in a month or something like that?
In the month of June, yeah.
Man, is he going to have a good season when he gets to Boston and is using the old Alex Cora pitch tip-off?
So who did Boston need to give up to get Schwarber?
Just looking at this right now, looks like the Nationals are getting minor league right-handed pitcher Aldo Ramirez. Okay. He's 20 years old and has a ERA around 2 in 8 games in single A.
And what does he rank in their prospects? Is he a top 10 prospect in the Red Sox system? Schwarber was a good ad.
Sorry, this wasn't in my show notes, so I didn't look it up yet here.
Sorry, buddy. Putting you on the spot here.
I can throw you under the bus here.
Yeah.
Number 22.
Okay. Great ad.
Yeah, great ad.
Huge ad. For almost nothing. That was great. Yeah. I'm guessing they're picking up a bunch of Schwarber's money too.
Yeah, they must be.
Okay. So now we sit and wait. We see what happens, man. Like, we've kind of established where the prospects need to be, depending on what you're bringing in. I don't think anything the Jays do will be quite as drastic as the Scherzer-Turner trade. How can it be? But it should be interesting to see what happens. Unless you have anything else to add on the trade deadline stuff, should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, because I did wish to, before we wrap everything up here, I did wish to talk a couple of things. Number one, quickly, I wish to touch on the Colorado Rockies. I don't understand what's going on there. They've come out and said they're not trading Daniel Barr to John Gray now. I don't understand this management team at all. They give up Arenado, pay $50 million for St. Louis to take him. I read an article just yesterday talking that other organizations are getting frustrated with the Rockies, talking to them about Trevor Story because they're being really hard-headed about what they're after. And if they wind up not moving Trevor Story, Daniel Bard, and John Gray, what is happening? Like, what is going on there?
I don't know. I'm sure that in the end, Trevor Story is going to end up on the Yankees and we're all going to be laughing. So
yeah, and that is very possible, man. That is very possible. And the Yankees are big time in acquire mode, right? So yeah, we'll see. I know that that Yankees management has been taking a real bashing from the crowd and the fans in New York. And so they're out to try and resurrect this team's postseason chances. And of course, they've done a pretty good job so far. So we'll see what happens in Colorado. There are a lot of trade pieces there that I know that a lot of organizations are poking their nose around and could definitely use. Lord knows a John Gray would look all right in a Blue Jays uniform. But right now, Rockies management saying that he is going nowhere.
That could just be posturing, though, when they're trying to...
It could be, absolutely.
Maybe they're getting some pretty underwhelming deals, and...
It could be all just posturing, which is probably what it's most likely is. So, time will tell where things land. Before we wrap things up here, I did wish to get into Joey Votto, because Canadian boy, yep, having himself a heck of a week. Like, a record-breaking week. He has hit 8 home runs in his last 6 games. He's got a 6-game home run streak going on, which breaks the Cincinnati Reds record. He just surpassed Johnny Bench. You know, like, it just, you know, like, it's pretty wild what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go over his numbers for the last week, I'm sure.
So in the last week, he is hitting .444 with a slugging percentage of 1.37, which is unreal. Yeah, with 8 home runs and 16 RBIs. So,
wow.
In the last 7 games, he's been on a bit of a tear.
He's chasing Junior right now. Ken Griffey has hit 8 home runs in 8 games, and Votto is nipping at his heels now.
What was pretty the Ken Griffey cool. Jr. stat there?
I'm pretty sure it was Griffey that had 8 home runs in 8 days. Huh. Or I don't know how many home runs he hit, but, eight games in a row.
Right. Unreal.
Yeah, of course, pretty darn cool.
For the home run race, Shohei Ohtani right now is in first place with 37. Mm-hmm. And the other junior, Vlad Jr., is in second place with 33.
Awesome.
Leads the MLB in RBIs with 83. And he's second in batting average right now.
Very cool.
So,
love it. All right, before we wrap up here, I know Bo Bichette just hit his 19th double of the year yesterday. And I started looking at his numbers. What is he at for home runs again, Adam?
So he's got 19 doubles, 18 home runs, and 15 stolen bases on the year.
Which is really, really wild. I don't think he'll do it this year, but it is not impossible at all that we see Bo Bichette at some point hit 30 doubles, 30 home runs, and 30 steals. That's freaking crazy. Yeah, that is wild. All right, well, let's wrap it up here. You may be hearing from us throughout the day, depending on what happens here. All the best to everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We always appreciate the walk-off community. You can check us out on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast and the Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. All the best, everybody. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Oscar with a drive. Cheese and cracker shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.